We are on lesson number 6, the active church of Ephesus. Lesson number 7 is available back in the back. We will not get to that today, I'm sure, but you are welcome to take lesson 7. If you'd like, it is available. Anyone need lesson 6 or 7, raise your hand. Need either one of those? All right, we have several folks, and Brother Collins will take care of that. But we are on lesson number 6, the active church of Ephesus. We've, again, divided the book of Revelation into 7 sections, and this is section number 2, Revelation chapters 2 and 3. And the title of this section, the announcement to the 7 churches. And so we're going to be in Revelation maybe till Jesus comes, amen. And that'll be all right, because depending on when that is, but we're going to be in Revelation for a long time in this class, and it is a verse by verse study. It is a slow study, and if I do like I did last week and get to preach in a little bit, well, it just slows down a little bit more. But so much of it is it is just so crucial. And so anyway, I trust you're enjoying the study, and I'm certainly enjoying it. Revelation 2:4 is our memory verse, and so let's go ahead and look at that, either in your Bible or right off the outline there of lesson number 6. Revelation 2:4 will say the reference, the verse, and then the reference again, and begin. Revelation 2:4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Revelation 2:4. And again, Revelation 2:4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Revelation 2:4. Father, I pray that you'll bless our time together. I pray for your guidance and direction in this class. And as we study the book of Revelation, I pray we'd be excited. Father, help us to love you with a love that is our first love. It's an excited love, a love that is a zealous love, a love that thinks of you first, and Lord, dies to self. And I pray you'll bless now. This time, bless all of our classes today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Roman numeral 1 is the city. We talked about that. The city that we're talking about first is the city of Ephesus. The active church, Roman numeral 2, the characteristic of Christ. Again, the signing of the letter to the church of Ephesus gives a characteristic. All of the letters to the churches, there is a characteristic of Christ. And then Roman numeral 3, the commendation, the positive thing, the thing, I want to commend you. I want you to know you've done a good job. And the commendation. Verses 2, 3, and 6 deal with that. And then number 4 is the condemnation. A verse, two of the churches do not have any condemnation verses. They don't have anything. God doesn't say anything condemning them of anything. I think that's interesting. We'll talk about that when we come to them. But the condemnation. And this one, verse 4, is a powerful, powerful verse. Again, let's be reminded that there are commentaries. Schofield, if you have a Schofield Bible that wants to put this as periods of history, I am not doing that. I'm not saying that there's not a good comparison there and all that. I'm not dealing with any of that at all. I think this is for you and I. Obviously, we know there was a church at Ephesus, and there was a church at Pergamos, and there was a church at Thyatira, all these churches. I understand all of that, but I believe combined, all these together, these are messages for us. These are words we need to hear. These are challenges to us. And verse 4 is a powerful verse, and I hope you'll think real hard about it. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And again, we cannot just, and I left a big section in our outline for that, because there's just a lot to talk about that first love. And I gave the illustration last week. We had Brian and Cheryl get married here just a few weeks ago, and they stood up here, and it could be the same every wedding I've done ever. The couple's standing up here, and they're looking at each other, and they're looking at each other's eyes, and they're talking to each other, and, you know, all these things. We've prepared songs, we've prepared the bride. Oh, that's my favorite song, and I just can't wait for that. And the groom, you know, he's all excited about all these things, you know. And, well, actually, grooms are never excited about any of it. But as far as the ceremony goes, but the, you know, and here she is, this all that's going on, all the decorations, all that stuff, and she's looking at that guy, and she's gazing into his eyes, and they're standing there talking, and the guy's over here singing his solo, and it's her favorite, you know. Oh, I love this song, and I can't wait to hear it. She didn't hear any of the song. She didn't even care about who was singing, didn't care about the piano player, didn't care about me standing up there, didn't care about Brother Lamb, the other pastor that officiated, didn't care about any of that, didn't care about all the people sitting out there, didn't care about the decorations, didn't care about the big stick thing that we were all standing in. None of that mattered. She didn't look at any of it. She's looking at him. What's he looking at? Her. I don't care. They're oblivious to everything else around them. Now, you know, that's first love. I really believe it. I think that is first love. They're talking. I mean, the song's being sung, and they're so enraptured with everything with each other. When I say this thing about the plant, not the plant, the Unity dirt or whatever it was, that's different. But you know, I had to make something up because I had nothing, because it's new. It's kind of a new idea, you know. You pour dirt from each other's land, and then you plant the tree and all that. You know, I'm saying, you know, and they twain shall be one flesh. And they've been so busy just looking at each other and talking. He doesn't have a clue what to do. He starts to lift her veil and kiss her, you know, and I'm going to punch him if he does that. That messes everything up. And, you know, and it's just so cute. And everybody just, oh, that's just so cute, you know. And I had to give him a little breath strip for the kiss, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And it's just so exciting. They're just, it's like, oh, boy, I'm just so excited about you. And remember when you got saved? Remember when you got saved? And you know, the preacher talked to you about getting baptized. And, I mean, have you ever really thought about baptism? I mean, it's an amazing thing that we do when we baptize people. Seriously. I mean, if you really thought about it. I mean, all these strangers, they don't know anybody, and they come in here and they take off their clothes and they put on this gown-looking thing they've never seen anything like before, and they're going to get up here in front of everybody and get dunked in the water, and their hair is going to be wet. And of course, in my case, in Brother Kuiper's case, it doesn't matter if our hair gets wet, but the point is, you know, it's amazing, but you don't care because, wow, I'm saved now. I'm going to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm a child of God. And you don't know what all that means yet, but you know that the guilt of sin is gone. And you've been forgiven. And it's just such a wonderful, and you're ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. Remember when you first got saved and you went to work and told everybody you got saved? And you thought they would be excited. And they weren't, but you didn't care. I still, often, when you know, I think about this, I go back to my first saved days. And I remember going to RCA to work, and all those heathen men, you know, and women, and just the pagan thinking and everything. And I remember sitting and working at my station, and it was a factory. And I remember singing songs. I didn't know the songs. I didn't know Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. I didn't know it. You know, it's amazing. Many times I stand up here and I wear my glasses, which if I wear my glasses, I can't see my songbook. But if I don't wear my glasses, I can barely see the Carpenters. But I know all the songs now. But then I didn't know any of the songs, so I'd sing parts of all of them. And the old Rugged Cross would be Joy to the World, and it would move into Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. But I would just sing. I was just so excited. And I was excited with God, and I talked to God, and I was very open with God, and I trusted God, and altar calls were given. I was at the altar, and I didn't care about anything else around me. And that's that first love. I remember that first love with my wife. We talked about it just recently. Our high school days, I think I mentioned this last week, our 35th class reunions are both coming up, and we both talked about our senior year, and I said, you know, I don't remember anything as far as school went, but do you know I remember most of our dates? I remember most times we got together, and we just were together all the time, our senior years of high school, and I was oblivious to everything else around me. I really believe that is what he's talking about in verse 4. You know, that first love. It's an exciting kind of a love. And, you know, you leave that first love when you start looking around at all the stuff that's going on around you. And you start looking around at, and you know, the devil's constantly trying to get us to look around at everything else. Peter walked on water, folks. And he could have kept walking. I was going to say he'd still be walking, but probably not. Not today, anyway. But he could have kept walking on water if he hadn't taken his eyes off Jesus. You know, and again, I'm not getting on him because I've never walked on water, but he did walk on water. As long as he had his eyes on Jesus, he would have walked on water. And I guess, again, you know, the idea is it's when we start looking around at other things. And, I still can remember volunteering for everything in church. And I wanted to be the first one with my hand up, Brother Hollins. I just thought everybody'd want to do it. You know, paint the, could somebody, the pastor got up and he said, we need somebody to paint the swing set. You know, it was an AC school that had to be painted red, white, and blue. And it was cold. You know, cold. It was in the 40s at that time. And I mean, I told my wife, I said, I better hurry. But it was funny. I was the only one. I jumped, literally jumped, hair down on my shoulders. And when I leaped, my locks just floated. It was such a pretty sight, I'm sure. But anyway, you know, but I'm just, it's like, wow, I can paint the swing set at the church. I couldn't believe that I could do something for God. Remember? Does anybody else have those kind of remembrances? And it's first love. It's that first love. But it would appear that Jesus doesn't want us ever to lose that. Right? Isn't it amazing, though, how we do? Isn't it sad? Isn't it sad how it becomes, oh, I got to go to church. Isn't that sad? It is. And we're just so flesh, aren't we? and you know, and all of a sudden, you know, our focus on Jesus, we get more focused in a mirror, right? And all of a sudden, it's not about him anymore. Now it's about me. And you know, I think that's what he's talking about here. It's part of it anyway. He said in verse 5, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen." Oh, you say, no, you don't understand. I'm matured. Not if you lost your first love, you didn't mature. If you lost your first love, you fell. In other words, you were here in your Christian life, and when you lose that first love, now you're here in your Christian life. Yeah, but I've been saved 20 years. Isn't that sad? That is so sad. But it's mostly sad because he wants that first love. He wants us to be excited about him. More so than we're excited about here. Amen. You say, man, I'm for my church. But more than that, you need to be for him. That's number one. He is number one. Should be number one. Just like in our marriages. I mean, you know, wow, my wife and I just got this new house. Fantastic. But do you love the house more than you love your wife? His first love, you could have lived in a pup tent and you didn't care. My wife and I lived in some really unique places, but it just didn't matter. We lived in a place one time, all the electrical wires were hanging down. We could hang pictures from the wires. You know, I mean, it was just, that was how it was. And the heating and air conditioning ducts were all exposed. And I mean, it was unique. We lived in half of a house trailer, half of one time. And I remember one winter, it was so unique in that place, the wind was blowing, they covered the air conditioner unit, but the wind was blowing from the outside. It was so cold, and that cover on the unit, they had plastic wrapped the unit inside the house, and it was puffed out because the wind was blowing through it so hard. And I remember walking by there and shivering. But you know what? Who cares? You know, I don't care. I got eyes for her. I don't care what's going on around me. And, you know, Christianity, there was a day some of the piddly junk that we get all bent out of shape over, there was a day we wouldn't have cared about that. Right? Yeah. I remember Brenda and I went on our honeymoon, and we've never quit. We're still on it. But 35 years later, but I remember we came back. My dad called. We stopped somewhere and called. Remember back when you had to stop somewhere and call? Anyway, so we stopped somewhere and called, and Dad said, "Son, I got some bad news for you. You're laid off from RCA." And I remember, you know, thinking, "Oh, that's too bad. More time with her." See, you leave that first love, and now instead of I'm just so excited about what you say, God, now we're worried about what's going on around us. Now we look around at what's happening. Now we look at the devil's out there, and the Antichrist probably is somewhere out there ready to do something, and oh, the economy's bad, and that first love, you didn't care. You just didn't care. That first love, you stood up, and everything you planned and all the decorations, who cares? It's just us. It's all about us. Yeah. It's like this. It's innocent. It's curious. Remember when you first got saved, you were curious? Just really curious about salvation and everything. I remember, as a new convert, looking around at Christians, and I thought, wow, yeah, this is really different. You know, actually back then I thought, this is far out. You know, and you know, some of this is really groovy. Yeah. Anyway, but you're curious. When's the last time you just were really curious about God?
Well, you know, Pastor, I've been to Bible college and I've taken a few things online. I kind of have all this figured out. Isn't that a shame? Isn't it a shame when we think we have our spouse figured out? I got news for you. You don't have anything figured out yet. You fellas think you have her figured out. You're nuts. You don't. And ladies, you're going to be confused about him for the rest of your life. But I mean, seriously, flesh has figured out omniscience? Come on, seriously? Flesh has figured out omnipotence. We who are stuck wherever we are has figured out omnipresence. Come on, seriously? Isn't there something we can learn? Isn't there something about his comfort we can learn? Isn't there something about his power we could learn? Isn't there, aren't you curious about God? Well, preacher, you know, I just kind of... Yeah, I know. I know. It's a battle. Here's the thing that I think about, and I counsel couples before they get married this way. You're supposed to grow closer. They have no clue of that. You know, these young couples, they don't understand. Oh, we've got it all. No, you really don't have anything figured out yet. You know, I mean, it is always funny how much they think they have figured out, but they're supposed to, I tell them, I say, just talk. You're on your honeymoon. If you drive somewhere, talk. Forget the stupid CD, I started to say tape player. Forget the 8 tracks. But talk to each other. Just talk. We're going on our honeymoon. We're planning on some of the, seeing some of these sites. I said, forget the stupid sites. Look at each other. Talk to each other. Get to know each other and talk. And be excited. Find out. What is she like? What? I already know all about her.
It's always amazing when they find out how much they really don't know. But innocent, curious, anxious, excited, inquisitive,
open, trusting, caring, wanting to please. Those are some things I think about when I think about first love. It's that way with the church, you know. You know, most churches, they start after a revival, perhaps. After an evangelist comes through a town. In the midst of a trial. Maybe a church has become liberal and another one is birthed from that liberal church. The people say, hey, we still believe the book. We still believe the King James Bible. We still believe in an old-fashioned Bible preaching. We still believe in an altar call. And so that group of people, they say, hey, fooey with this Burger King church kind of stuff. We're going to go out here and start. And it's born, it's birthed in adversity. The early church, I mean, come on, the persecution was unbelievable from Rome and the Jews. You know, it was just a terrible time. And those churches start, and there's a God, I've got to have your help. Oh God, I love you and I need you. And those churches start in the midst of that. This church started in the midst of World War II. You know, toward the end of World War II. This church started, and it's on our plaque out there. It was started so that a group of Christians would go all out. All out. What is that? That's first love. All out is first love. Who's first? Him. You know, this is how I get, you know, it gets preachy, you know, in this class sometimes, because when I think, well, you know, I would challenge you, how's your marriage? Is it first love? Well, you know, we're just growing old together. You know, it should be more exciting today than it ever was. I love, and I've got memories, and it's so interesting to me, you know, memories of elderly folks holding hands with each other, walking down the street. I'm thinking of couples, I'm thinking of people, I'm thinking of people here. I'm thinking of Art and Helen George, and they used to hold hands. I can remember shaking hands with them. It was almost like they had a grip on each other. You know, I'm trying to shake hands, and you know, I'm not letting go. And you know, I'm remembering that because that's how it should be. Somebody said the other day, said we saw you and your wife walking down the street, and you were holding hands, kind of like, who do you think you are? It's a death grip. You know, sometimes when I hold her hand, I rub her hand with my finger still. We just love each other. And I'm just saying, you know, I think of that and I think, okay, is it closer with God now? Because if it's not, we've got to work on something. See, you got two things there. You have your marriage and you have your relationship with God. Is it first love? Do you love Him? Do I love Him? Jesus said this. He said, I have somewhat against thee. This, I titled this, the active church. He said, I know thy works, thy labor, thy patience. You've been busy. You're not putting up with evil folks. You're doing what you're supposed to do. You've got all the action. You've got all the activity. But he said, I really want your heart. Right? And then he talks about first works, and we'll get to that later on. But in verse 5, he says, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. He said, I have somewhat against thee. You've got all this activity. But where's your heart? Mary and Martha? Martha, you're cumbered about much serving. You're cumbered about much. Are you listening? Was she serving? Oh, she was serving. What, did she have a bus route? She had a bus route. Was she involved in Vacation Bible School? Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was there. No matter what, she was right there. Was she involved in master clubs? She sure was. Did she go to the fair tent and lead people to Christ? Yeah, sure she did. Was she involved in the RU program? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, Martha, you are so busy. But she was cumbered about much serving. Yeah, yeah. What's that mean? Well, Jesus makes it clear. He said, well, Mary hath chosen the good part. What was that? That was at the feet of Jesus. Amen. At the feet of Jesus. She heard him. She was excited. Remember when you came to church and you were hungry? Yeah, I am convinced that so many church members today, they're just not hungry anymore. They're not hungry. I got it figured out. I already know. I'm not. We need to be hungry again. I still can remember sitting on the edge of my pew, listening on purpose, because I needed to know more. I wanted to learn. I remember the invitation, and I was the first one. Over and over again. I still can remember it clearly. I'm talking about my hippie days, you know? I mean, long hair, there he is. There's the hippies. Oh, the hippie couple, there he goes again. I remember sitting in the pew. I remember my wife trying to make her skirt longer there in the pew as the preacher preached. I remember it clearly. I remember doing the Baptist tuck a few times, you know, as the preacher's preaching, because he's preaching on everything. But it was so, you know, how that's so good. And you know, when I go to conferences, when I go to pastor school, when I go to youth conference, whatever it is, I still have that desire. It's not just, oh, another service. Oh, another time to listen. No, it's exciting. Folks, our hearts need to be in it. A couple comes to me and says, we're having marital problems. I know something right away. Somebody's heart's not in it. It's just not in it. And it's so sad, you know? Serve, yes, but loving him is the best thing. And loving him, desiring him, wanting to be with him, not just going through the motions of prayer times, but going through the relationship of a prayer life where we tell him everything. You know, when you first got saved, you didn't know how to pray. You were better off. What do you mean didn't know? Well, you did. First of all, you hadn't implemented King James language into your prayers yet. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong, and I suppose I do that myself. But the point I'm trying to make is you're not a professional prayer. You just talk to him. Remember those days? I have people say to me all the time, well, you know, don't call on me to pray because I'm not sure how to do all that. And I think, oh, that'd be such a blessing. Yeah, where you just pour your heart out to God. Remember when you told God everything you did? At the end of the day, God, I did this and I thought this and now it's almost like we don't want him to find out. He knows. Let me end with this section. God did not create Adam to build a church, to build a Sunday school class, to build a bus route, or any of those things. All those things are good. Those are fine. Somebody needs to. But he created him to fellowship with God. And if we lose sight of the fellowship with God, we lose our first love. And by the way, I am convinced that's why there's so much junk out there today in the name of Christianity, is because people lost that first love. They lost the hunger, listen to me, for the truth. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Well, when we're filled with the world, we don't hunger and thirst for anything else. When we're filled with everything else around us, we're not looking to him. And if we just would get hungry for righteousness. Yeah, I'm convinced Christianity, the by far the majority of Christians, I'm talking about blood-bought Christians, the majority are not interested in righteousness. Not at all. They're interested in you know, whatever feels good, whatever we like. Come on. I mean, let's be honest. These pews should be full. The truth is going out. It will go out. In the morning service, it will go out. That'll be truth tonight. Okay, I'm just saying, this place ought to be full. But people don't necessarily want the truth. They just want either entertainment, they want to feel good. I mean, let's be honest, truth doesn't always feel good. I like I say, my wife and I kept coming back to church, even though the preacher preached about most of everything we were doing was out of hell. And he said it. And he had a vein right here that, you know, from the middle of the auditorium, that vein popped out. You could see it. And I whispered to her several, I said, we're not coming back. I mean, come on, he's hitting all my music that I had, all my 45s. He'd hit all my albums, everything. You know, everything we did, this preacher is you know, it's all out of hell. I remember the assistant pastor came to our house one time, Brenda and I, we were laying out in the sun in our backyard. So you can imagine how we weren't dressed. And the assistant pastor, he comes, he's knocking on the door, and he walks around the back, and he says, hey, is anybody there? And you know, we walk out there, and there we are. it's still just right there. And hey, groovy man, how's it going? You know, and sure enough, boy, next Sunday, the preacher's preaching about everything we weren't wearing. And I was thanking God that we were sitting there at least wearing what we were. Amen. But we kept coming back. Why? Because I want somebody to tell me the truth. That's all. Just tell me the truth. And the truth does hurt, doesn't it? Why do you go to your doctor? Why do we go to our doctor? Why do we go to our doctor when he tells us stuff we don't like? You ever think about it? I'll never forget my doctor in Frankenmuth. He basically just said this. He said, you're fat. I told my wife, I'm not going back to him. She said, what are you saying? You are. I was. He just told me the truth. You know, your doctor tells you, oh, you have such and such, you need to take such and such, and you know, I don't appreciate him telling me that. Isn't that what preaching is? You have such and such, you need to do such and such, and it'll help you with such and such. Yeah. Why is it we change churches but we don't change doctors? Why is it we change Bibles but we don't change doctors? Yeah, we're just gonna tell, yeah, hey, I'll show that doctor. He's not gonna tell me I have cancer. It amazes me how many people say, well, I may have it, I don't want to know. I want to know. I want to know everything. I want to do whatever I can do to fix it. So I go to my eye doctor, you know, and for many, many years, it was all bad, always bad. You know, why are you going to your eye doctor? Oh, I'm going to go have a great time. No, he's going to shoot laser volts into my eyes, right? He's going to make my eye sound like bacon frying. And he did. Over and over. Why'd you keep going to him? I like seeing. Isn't that something? So really what we need is we need Burger King doctors, Burger King eye doctors, amen? We need a Burger King chiropractor, and all they do is just tell you, have it your way. Amen? I ought to write a song, you know, hold the pickles, hold the lettuce, special orders, don't upset us. I need to have, hold the cancer, hold the flu, special orders are for you. All we ask is that you do have it your way. Pretty good, huh? It's not written down, so it's not copyrighted. You can steal it now and take it. But, you know, Brother Hollins, we need to start our own doctor's office. It's just going to be Burger King doctor. We just have it their way. Somebody comes in, they're bent over like this, they can hardly walk, and we just say, hey, just have fun. Ushers, you need to come. We need to stop this right now because I'm headed for trouble. And anyway, it's good to see the Marwellies here. Brother Marwelly, good to see you. Glad you could visit us today so you could hear that. Isn't that what's happening in churches, though? It is, isn't it, Brother Marwell? Sure it is. We're just going to, you know, we're going to gather and we're going to get people to come in and we're going to just tell them whatever makes them feel good. Whether it's true or not doesn't matter. It's just you feel good, and as long as you feel good, then we've accomplished something because you've put your money in our plate and we made you feel good. And that's wonderful. And then you lose your children and you lose your family and spouses lose their spouse and you lose your home and you lose your life. And other than that, it's been a great day. Amen. Anyway, don't lose your first love. First love, it's His terms. Amen? His terms, not your terms. You know, I first got saved. I knew absolutely nothing. Nothing. I didn't grow up in church. I was not a religious professional. We, at the most, my family was Creasters, you know, Christmas and Easter. And really, that was rare. And, you know, I knew nothing at all when I got saved. Nothing. Zero. You know, I still know nothing compared to what He knows. You need to get back there, folks. We need to be there. We still know nothing. Well, you know, you've been a pastor a long time. It means absolutely nothing compared to Him. I told Him this morning, God, I've got to have Your wisdom. I have to have Your wisdom. I don't have a clue. And God, I've got to have Your knowledge to teach, to preach to my people. Look at all these people in here. And this is just Sunday school class. Do you know how many different needs are represented here today? I want you to really think about that. I mean, there's so many different needs represented here today. Folks have just lost loved ones. There's several like that. Folks are going through hard times with their families. Folks have financial needs. Folks are contemplating decisions. And all over this room. And it's going to get worse. You know, the more that come in, the more trouble comes in. And only God can take a message and help him and him and him and her and her and her and him and him and her and her and her and him. And him, and him, and her, and her, and him, and her, and all the way through. And only God can do that with one message. Isn't that amazing? Brother Kuiper, don't ever lose the thrill of somebody saying to you, boy, that message really helped me. I just lost a loved one. And somebody else coming up and saying to you, boy, that message really helped me out. I have an important decision to make. Same message. The message wasn't about either thing. And you just stand there like, wow, what did God just do? And it's just an amazing, amazing thing. Because it's never about us. It's about Him. And please, please, let's, whatever you do. You know, in every a Sunday school class, bus route, master clubs, fair ministry, soul winning, whatever it is we do. Cleaning toilets, amen? It's still not about us. It's all about Him, always. And that's that first love. God, how can I please You? God, can I paint this swing set red, white, and blue? Wow, what an honor that'd be to be able to paint that swing set red, white, and blue. Some guy said, you know, when it's cold like that, it's tough to get the paint to stick. He said, best thing you can do is stick a rag in that paint and coat that pole with that rag full of paint. And he said, that's the way you paint, you know, a swing set, something round like that, and when it's cold and everything. And the only thing he didn't mention in that whole thing is, how in the world am I going to keep my hands from freezing off? And they froze. I mean, but you know what? That whole time, it's like, I can serve God. I can actually serve. I can do this for God. I'm so proud. Not in a sinful way, but I'm out there, you know, I'm a hippie. I look like soup kitchen material, honestly. I did. And I'm out there painting this swing set. You know, I'm rubbing that paint on there. I'm doing it absolutely as detailed as I can. I'm going down this crossbar here is blue, and this pole down here is red. Remember red, white, and blue, ACE colors? And I'm painting that one down there, boy, and it's perfect, you know, and I'm looking around hoping somebody realizes that, hey, here's a guy that is working for the King of Kings. And the Lord of Lords. And I get to do this. Wow. And you know what? It should always be like that. We have people painting over in the school. And I sure appreciate what they're doing. They're doing a great job. I hope they have that same thrill. Amen? you know, look what I get to do. Instead of, oh, brother, look what I got stuck with. You know, I got to paint the school. And I've got to end this time. Father, we love you, and I want to love you, Lord, like I've always loved you. I want to love you more and more every day. I want to thrill at our time early in the morning. I want to thrill at reading your word and learning something new from your word every day. I want to thrill that your mercies are new every morning. And God, I want to be thrilled that I need your mercy every morning. I pray that you'll help us never, never, never to lose that first love, to leave that first love. Help us not to be distracted by all the junk around us, negative things and gossip and garbage, and help us to just thrill at our God, our Father, our Savior. Help us to love you with a first love and then do the first works with that same zeal and excitement. Please help us as a church, I pray. Bless our morning service. Please speak to our hearts today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.